as you heard that story, as you read along with that piece of scripture, what struck you? What hit you?
That Jesus asked the man if he wanted to be healed.
Right. Jesus approached the man. Jesus approached the man. No one prompted Jesus. The man didn't say, hey, come over here. But Jesus approached the man to do it. Anyone else? How about getting in trouble for doing good? Getting in trouble for doing good. Last week we ended the lesson with the term sozo. Sozo means wholeness. It also means salvation. Sozo can mean to save, to heal, or to make whole. Now salvation not only means to rescue the soul or the spirit, but also the reality of fixing what is broken, of bringing wholeness. This gentleman, as he is healed, not only is he able to walk, but you begin to see in him a different attitude. If you had been laying beside a pool for 38 years with the belief that if you could just get in that water first when it was stirred, then you would be healed and there was no one to help you, 38 years, would you become discouraged? I think so. I would become discouraged. And you see that very, very clearly. And he asks, when Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And that's a very important question. Because a lot of times people will go to the doctor, they'll get all of the medication, and then they won't take it. Because I know better. The internet told me. All right. And also, you can go and have some, you can go to a healing service. You can go in service here, and the prayer teams pray for you. And you can walk and say, well, I didn't feel anything. I guess nothing's working. But that's, you know, do you want to be healed is a very important question. Because to be healed as God intends to heal us, we have to step out of the way. The man had an excuse. What was his excuse? No one to help him. He had no one to help him. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. There are some, the earliest translations don't have that an angel stirred the water. Later translations do. And the belief was that when that angel stirred the water, the first person in got healed. So, you know, if you couldn't dive in, you're out of luck. And so this man didn't have anyone to help him. And so it became an excuse. Have you ever heard anybody say, my diabetes, I can't do that? Have you ever heard anybody say, my heart, I can't do it? Have you ever anyone said, I'll just sit here in my chair and I'll be okay? Have you ever heard someone take their illness as an excuse not to be all they can be? Have you ever known someone who says, I'm just fine. I'm going out and do what I want to do, and they do it anyway. This gentleman was approached by Jesus. There's no reasoning there. We don't know why he did. Because there were a lot of people around this pool. A lot of sick people were there. But Jesus goes to this one man, and Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed, and walk. Now, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. I want you to understand something. Jesus never, ever did anything on the Sabbath that was prohibited. He never did anything that was prohibited. The idea of picking up your mat was possible because it didn't necessarily constitute a large load. So to pick up your mat and walk, okay, it's like picking up your napkin and walking. It's not up to us to decide what's large. If it becomes a burden, then, and it separates you from God, then sit back and look at it. In all of the healing miracles that we've looked at, in the signs that Jesus performed, in the healing of the nobleman's son, in the healing of the demonic, Peter's mother-in-law, and the paralyzed man last week, on all of these, Jesus brought out in the open the kingdom of God. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it says, he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who healed you. Jesus is the Messiah. He's coming back. He has come back to set right the relationship that God has with his people. Have you seen that? I saw it in the Billy Graham Crusades. It's the person standing on a cliff here and needs to get over here on this other cliff, and there's a great big chasm that says sin, and in the middle of it's the cross. Jesus came to set right the road that we can come to God. God can come to us. And in doing that, there is wholeness. There is salvation. There is sozo. A lot of times we equate healing with, oh, I feel better. I'm good now. But healing also constitutes the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And it can all happen at one time. It can happen in different pieces. It can happen over a long period of time. It can happen like that. It happens however God wants it to. And in this case, the man has no idea who Jesus is. He does what Jesus tells him to do. And after 38 years, this dude can walk. And would you be excited? I would be excited. I would be very, very excited that I could do this. In Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God offers us wholeness. He offers us wholeness. He offers us sozo. He offers us salvation. And it's ours to accept. Understand, you can reject this gift. We have been given one of the most precious gifts, and that is, in my opinion, free will. We're not robots. We're not. We can choose to follow God, to love God, to believe God, or not. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to stop trying to woo us in, because he'll always keep coming, always keep offering himself. But we can choose not to. And that's what makes it so powerful and so wonderful, is that we can freely choose to follow Christ. We can freely choose to know God. We can freely choose to be made whole. In this pericope, the man has been paralyzed, lying beside the pool for 38 years. And in one instance, when Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk, he does. He is confronted by the leaders. He's confronted by the leaders who are there. And they want to know, who healed you? Who healed you on the Sabbath? Not that he was healed, because that's a miracle. That's fantastic. That's amazing. 38 years, and here he is walking. They want to say, who broke the law and worked on Sunday? Who did not put the lid back on the sugar? You know, it's kind of like that. You know, who didn't do that? And they wanted to know, and the man did not know. He said, I just did what the man told me. All right, this is a point we need to look at. He didn't know who healed him. What does that tell you about God?
He doesn't always make himself known.
He doesn't always make himself known. That's true. God can heal. Pardon? He is very compassionate. Yes, indeed. He is a God of unlimited mercy. Yes. What else does that tell you about him? Exactly. He didn't. He wasn't pointing to himself. He wasn't pointing to himself. God can heal whom he chooses when he chooses. And it makes no difference who they are. And there are many examples in Scripture where people were healed who were not good Jewish folk. And that kind of made the leaders of the temple angry. They're not one of us. And so it kind of made them angry. Now, following along in the scripture, in this pericope, the man goes to the temple and Jesus finds him there. And it's very, very interesting what he says to this man. When he's there in the temple, this is like verse 14. I need somebody with a loud voice to read verse 14. Yes, sir.
Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you."
See, you are well. Sin no more, so that nothing worse may happen to you. What sin did this man commit? In the Gospel of John, sin is not knowing who Jesus is. Sin is not knowing that Jesus is the Messiah. And sin is not knowing that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all right there and that Jesus is part of this plan. Sin is not knowing. It's not adultery. It's not murder. It's not thievery. It's not gossip. It's not that, because you do that because you don't know or you choose to ignore. To not know who Jesus is sin in the Gospel of John. And so here Jesus is telling him, no, be careful. You're well now, so you don't sin anymore and get something worse. And what does the man do?
He tells
on him. It's kind of like, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I know who did it. You know, this is what's going on. He tells on him. But I don't think the man understood his actions. I really don't think the man understood his actions. I opened with my Fitbit saying, "Hello, friend." I know that's not my friend. I know it's just a watch designed to torment me to get up and walk. I know what this is. But I also know that there are some people who are easily led by what the people around them say. This man did not know the purpose of God. This man did not know what God was doing. This man did not recognize Jesus. And so Jesus is telling him, be careful that you don't sin and get something worse. There's twice. Last week in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus told the man who was paralyzed to, when Jesus saw the faith of the man's friends, he said to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." And up until that point, we have no idea that this is going to be about sins. He's paralyzed. There's something physically wrong with him. So he says, "Your sins are forgiven." In the Gospel of John, the woman caught in adultery, when everyone is ready to condemn her and they're out there and they're picking up the rocks and Jesus kneels down and writes in the sand. I wish I knew what he wrote, don't you? You know, he writes in the sand and then everybody drops their rocks and walks away and it's just Jesus and this woman. He asks her, "Where are your condemners?" And he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Part of salvation, when we confess our sins, that burden is lifted from us, and we have a hint of wholeness. Because that burden is lifted from us. And we are put in a position where we got a brand new start. Go and sin no more is very important, because if you walk out the door and you start again, it's going to all pile back up again. The administrative assistant that I had before, yes, sir, you have a question?
How did the guy know it was Jesus? Jesus still didn't recognize, didn't identify himself.
You're absolutely correct. In this, he did not say, "I'm Jesus, go and don't sin anymore." He doesn't say that. But here's where, you know, some people say, "Oh, that's Jesus." People could have told him who it was, because they were in a place where people would have known him. And that, even though it's not written in black and white, that's my conjecture. Okay, so in the last place I served, I had an administrative assistant who had a bad knee. And her knee was really, really bad. And she had favored it so much, you know, walking, swinging the hip and then swinging the knee around, that one leg was longer than the other. And we were at the Otto Kaiser Hospital, and we had a healing service was taking place, and an individual knelt down beside her, put his hands on her knee, and her legs straightened out, and they were of equal length. I kid you not. And she could walk. And she could walk without pain. And she was so excited that she could walk without pain and that she wasn't limping and that she had that this had really happened to her. And that she was so, so excited. And she went home and she told her husband and he said, "That didn't happen. You're stupid. That didn't happen. I kid you not." She told her daughter that was living with her, "Look, I can walk. It doesn't hurt." "That didn't happen. That didn't happen." And she began to doubt what she herself saw. She began to doubt what she herself not only saw, but felt in her body. And within a week, the leg was back shorter and she was back limping worse than before. She rejected because she took in what the people around her had told her. Now, there was a lot more going on in that family than just that. You can, but when I witnessed this and I saw the progression of the healing and how she went back, I was wondering, "God, what are you saying here?" And in studying this, I realized what God was saying, that we can reject a healing. And as alien as it sounds, it does indeed happen to us. When we, in our, to not know Jesus in the Gospel of John is sin. We can know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. We can know that here, but we can live our lives in such a way that we say, "No, he's not." And that's where we invite in. We can mouth the words, like, "I know this watch is not my friend." But we can mouth the words, and we can bring it in. For Jesus to tell this man, "Go and sin no more, something else worse might happen to you." In my view, and I'm sure all of the pastors in here have their own view, in my view is Jesus said, "Get your act together. You ought to know who the Lord is. You ought to know who the Lord is." And as you go through this and as you read this, you can see that the man's attitude begins to change. Where there was no hope, there's hope. He's excited when he tells the leaders of the temple, "This man healed me." There's hope. There's excitement there. There's a change in his attitude, a change from being defeated into there's possibilities. There's a change in his attitude, and in this, he receives the forgiveness, because in the temple is where Jesus says, "Sin no more." To be told "sin no more" means everything you've done is forgotten. Your sins are forgiven. So not only this man, he received hope, he received a change of attitude, he received forgiveness, and in all of that, he could walk. He could walk. A lot of times we just look at the physical, but it's not, the physical is very important, but it's what's here and here that is equally important. His attitude changed. And in this, we see that there are patterns, and we see that there are patterns in healing. And in these patterns of healing, we see that my writing is too little. We see that there's a pattern in healing. First of all, people will be healed on every level that it, on levels that involve their entire being, their body, their mind, and their spirit, and their emotions, also their emotions. And often the healing received is not the healing you prayed for. It's a deeper healing. Last week I shared the story about Sister Mary, and I went back and I reread that story, and it was her ankles. She had very, very bad arthritic ankles, and she could hardly stand, and she wanted to work with the kids. And so she went to the healing service. You know, she was coerced into going to this healing service the first time, saying, "Well, pray for your ankles. It'll all be good." So she went and had her ankles prayed for, and she received hearing in one ear, and her ankles still hurt. And so they said, "Well, let's do it again. Come back next week, and we'll pray for your ankles again." So she went back the next week, and something else was healed, but she still had the ankles. And finally she said, "God used my ankles as bait." He used my ankles as bait to get me there. And then at the end of the story, her ankles were indeed healed. But along the way, she not only had her hearing restored and other things healed, but she also experienced, recognized, and gave credit to the amazing power and love of God. So when we are healed, all of us will be, all parts of us will be healed. And God will heal us in ways that we normally didn't think He was going to do it. When healing prayer is offered for an individual, you can see that they heal quicker than people who do not have prayer for them. About 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, maybe longer, I had major abdominal surgery. And in that, they said, "Oh, you're going to be off work 6 weeks or longer. You can't do this. You can't do that." I was back at work in 4 weeks. Because I was covered in prayer. Now, given I was sitting behind a desk, it wasn't manual labor, you know, so given that. But I knew that I was covered in prayer. And so I have personally experienced this, and I have seen other people heal quicker than what physicians said. And physicians who are believers also will validate this, When a person is healed, their knowledge and love of God grows. What's sin in the Gospel of John? Not knowing who Jesus is. Jesus told this man what in the temple? Look at your scripture, y'all. Go and sin no more, or it could get something worse. When we are healed and we know that this healing came from God, it's like a door is open and we recognize the power because we've experienced it. You can pick up a Bible and you can read it all day long and it's nothing but black and white. But when it comes alive and God is there, the Holy Spirit is talking to you, it sinks in. One of the beautiful things about this congregation that I have seen and I've heard you say is that you talk about Scripture as if it is alive. It is. It is alive. It is. But you speak of it as being alive. You don't know how, that just feeds my soul, you know, to hear other people say, "It's alive." And then also I've heard you say, "I received a word in prayer." Staid Anglicans aren't supposed to receive words. But see, that's who God is. That's who God is. He talks to us. He talks to us through Scripture. He talks to us through words in our heads. He talks to us, through me, through novels sometimes. He talks to us. And when we've been healed, that door is open and we can see His power. We can see His majesty. Our knowledge of Him grows. It's up to us not to stop right there. It's up to us not to stop. Have you ever said in your career, I know enough. I don't need to go to any more classes. Only when you're fixing to retire. Have you ever told your spouse, your beloved, you know, we don't need to go out on a date. Our marriage is just fine. Or are you constantly working on it? If you're not, you better. Keep it alive, y'all. And the amount of energy that you expend in keeping your marriage alive should be equal to the amount of energy you expend to keeping your relationship with God going. I opened with what I believe to be one of our greatest gifts from God, and that is free will. He allows us to choose if we're going to follow Him or not. And He will open doors and He'll put information in front of us and He'll give us all of these opportunities. He'll talk to us. But if we set it down and don't do it, then whose fault is that? It's ours. Jesus told this individual, sin no more or it could be worse. My friend allowed the people closest to her to tell her that what she had experienced wasn't real. And she went back to where she was. And about 2 months later, she had knee surgery, and she went through everything. And when I left Carn City, she was limping again. She was limping again. You know, some people don't think they're worthy. We have obstacles to healing, and those obstacles can be our own belief. It can be the excuses we give. It can be the rationalizations that we make. But I encourage you to go through and read the remainder of chapter 5. Because in chapter 5, there's a discourse between Jesus, the remainder of chapter 5, there's a discourse between the leaders of the temple, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those guys, and Jesus. And in that, He proclaims who He is, and He also calls them out for not believing. It's quite in-depth. I encourage you to read it because Jesus just very pointedly tells these people who don't believe who He is and why they don't believe. Important thing. Sozo is yours. Reach out and grab it. Thank you.
Sozo, good word for us. And of course, our ultimate destiny is to enter into the complete, finished wholeness of the Lord as we're with Him. And we're going to, with our resurrection bodies, we will suddenly realize how bad we felt, you know, here with these bodies. The Lord has so much more for us, but we press on, and we press on in that hope and remembering the Lord's call to us as His people to, you know, His body is to do what He's done in the world. That doesn't mean a formula, and that's one of the things that I hope is striking you as we're going through all these accounts of the healings, because Jesus did it so many different ways. And in today's passage, He just says, get up and walk. You know, get your mat. Yes, sir. Which is then the second thing is I was struck by the sense of the Lord's authority. And this man didn't at least at first know who Jesus was, but he sensed the authority. And that's often what's described about his teaching, about all his working, is that sense, you know, this isn't the guy like the regular teachers. This guy really speaks with authority. I mean, like it's within him. And so that's what's distinctive about the Lord is he is the source. He is the authority. And so when we carry out the ministry in his name, we don't do it because we've got this formula. We don't do it because we've got it all figured out. We do it because we're going in obedience to the one who is the source, who is the authority. Amen? So let's remember that. You know, I know that temptation experientially of thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. There's not much you need to know, Chuck, except you know him and his authority, his call to pray, you know, and you go in his name and let him do it because he's the only one that can do it anyway. So church, this is the call for us. Let's go in his name, trusting him to do it in his power and his authority. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, be with you. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are an awesome God. And it's an amazing thing, Lord, that in your authority, in your power, you came into the world to show yourself to us, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of us all. We thank you, Lord, that you did that. And Lord, may our lives be simplified and the pressure taken off by us just resting in your authority, your headship over us. There's a security in that, knowing that you're the one responsible. We're called to be faithful. And so, Lord, for Christ our King Parish, we pray that we would continue to grow in faithfulness. And that includes, Lord, in representing you before those who are ailing. And, Lord, that really is everybody, in body and spirit. Everyone out there needs you and needs your sozo. So may we be your representatives in the world and declare it, declaring you as the Lord and lover of their souls. And now, Lord, as we go our way, may we shine for you in that way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.